You ready, Kathy? All right. I'm going to call to order the Council Street Committee meeting September 6th, 2016. Can I get a Pledge of Allegiance? Alan, can you please?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Kathy, can you do a roll call, please?
Walter?
Here.
Marston?
Here.
Here.
All right. I think everybody has a committee agenda. The first thing I wanted to start with was the 2017 ramp, or a ramp draft, I guess. Alan, I see that you put something together. You mind just giving us kind of an overview of what this is?
Things that will have to be hired out. And then the in-house is stuff that we will be doing ourselves, such as crack sealing and dirt patching. I know there's only one of those, I think, that shows up in priority one, and several of them show up in priority two. We should be able to get most of those accomplished, however, in 2017. Don't put those out into an anticipated year. Those are just for, based on that $600,000 a year of what we're shooting. That is a basic synopsis of what we've done. You'll see on the front page of Oak Meadow, I did not carry those numbers out. We still kind of have to decide what exactly we're going to do. I think that might be the next agenda topic.
Right. It's the next agenda topic. So let me ask a couple quick questions here. On the two pages between the one and to the one and a halves and the two to the two and a halves, those numbers are cumulative on the back page, correct, for each year? The 583, the 605, 602, so forth?
Correct. So at the end of 2017, summed on page one for the priority ones, summed on page two for the priority twos, and then summed again on the final page for that year.
And that's inside and outside costs, correct?
That is, anything that's in the anticipated improvement year is just outside cost. The in-house is summed separately per page in total. Those numbers, 585 is the total in-house that I have. That's covered in our budget. We anticipate to be covered in our budget for crack seal and dirt patching materials.
Okay. And BJ, I'm sorry, I just have a few questions here, and then everybody else. You'd put this at a $600,000 per year kind of initial budget. What's that based on?
That is based on what our revenues are and the percentage that will be coming from the income tax to the street department. If you look at, and we'll be talking about this on the 12th, that is based on a very conservative budget and focusing more on infrastructure improvements, pulling back a little bit on equipment purchases. But this past year, we were about $550,000. We feel pretty comfortable based on projections of the income tax that we'll have at least $600,000 a year for road program moving forward. And that is about 33-34% of the income tax going to the street fund, which we have projected for the next coming several years.
Okay.
If I can just reiterate, one other thing, as Alan mentioned, the in-house shouldn't be considered in the ramp money. That is stuff that will be budgeted in the operations budget for materials and everything to handle the crack sealing, dirt patching. So that is it's income tax money, but it would be from – it's not – lumped in with the ramp.
Okay. I've got one more question for Alan. Alan, I noticed you have a couple in here that are ones or 1.5s priority that are put off to 2020, maybe even 2021, whatever, while you still have some twos on the other page that are going to come earlier. Is that what's your reasoning behind that? Are you grouping projects together to kind of make some sense out of maybe some areas to keep people from moving all the place? What's your thoughts on what? What are your thoughts on that? Tim, Todd, do you think?
Sure. Can you give me just a really quick thumbnail sketch of what makes something a what you threw in to making something a priority one versus two? Did you look at just crumbling pavement, or did you look at drainage and pavement, or how busy it is, or? And I remember recently, and this is just for my own education or maybe the education of the committee itself, we recently did some road repairs on a section of road because doing those road repairs in the long run would have saved us a lot of money. Did you run into anything like that?
Okay. We're looking over five years here, and we're only hitting the 0 to 2 range with what we would want to hit if we were in perfect work. Trying to balance that between what makes sense to you first, trying to save money in the long run.
And this one's from you and Mr. King. Is the ramp 3 years typically, or is it five?
The ramp document looking out?
Realizing that this is not the ramp document.
Well,
this
ramp document was a 10-year document, looking over the, 0 to 2, 3 to 5, 6 to 8, 9 to 10.
How often is it revised?
We try to revise it every 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the last time it was revised in 2013 or 14.
So theoretically, something that is now a 3 in 2 years could be a 1. This is a best guesstimate.
Correct.
Good.
Any other questions? You have a question?
Okay, go ahead. No, I have a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
If I can. Thanks, Andy. This information will also be reflected in the budget presentation that we'll be doing on Monday the 12th for discussion's sake.
Okay. Anything else? All right, well.
One other comment, if you don't go mind. Ahead.
That's where I was going next. That's the next item on the agenda is Oak Meadow. So when I talked with Alan and BJ, we talked about pulling Oak Meadow out so it has its own evaluation. And what we wanted to – what I had asked was to make sure we could look at a couple of different varieties, I guess is the best way to – varieties of proposed fix to the Oak Meadow. One of them being, what would you do on a normal street in Pataskala? Second would be, what would you do essentially to widen, make the road safer than it is now? It's a very narrow road, and do some additional, maybe an upgrade type of repair. And then the last one was basically full depth reconstruction, curb and gutter, the whole thing. So, Alan, if you want to go through that a little bit.
About $120,000. Expect 5 to 8 years plus or minus before we start running the same type of problems because we're not really addressing the drainage on that one. Option two would be about a 3-foot widening of the road, which is a safety issue, and then that would kind of force some minor storm repairs because we start to get into some of the ditches at very good slopes, so we have to do some minor work there. That one I've estimated roughly $285,000. Since I created this, another discussion occurred where what if we did some drainage improvements but just and still kept ditches. That would take a little bit more, but it would really help us out with getting the water off the road. And I would say somewhere between $325,000 and $350,000 would accomplish that. And then, of course, like I said, the last is the Cadillac version, which I did independent of Job's cost estimate and came up with roughly the same numbers right around.
Tim, Todd, do you have any questions on that?
I guess
I was just going to say, is that the right approach to take to evaluate this street, or would you guys think of this in a different way? Obviously, making a recommendation to council, this was at least an approach that I wanted to explore on understanding what the costs were for each level of repair.
I guess my feeling on it is it's a good exercise to go through that because I wasn't exactly sure about the Jobs Henderson numbers. I feel more comfortable now that we see this as it exists or as Alan has put it together. The drainage work that I think, can I say that came out of our conversation that Alan and I had today, and I thank you very much for taking the time to meet with me about that. But I think we couldn't decide, or I couldn't decide how you felt about would that drainage work be done in house or out, and there are pluses and minuses to both. And we also talked a lot about what's the next step for that? Almost exactly what you asked, Mr. Walther. So, you know, is the next step to try to identify which one of those three is the best? What's the next thing, and then how does it fold into this document as something that I think that I'm just speaking personally interested in seeing. At the same time, not interested in spending 2 years worth of rent money on one project specifically.
Well, and I agree with you 100%. I think the biggest thing I wanted to see was, as we were looking at these other streets in Pataskala, what would we typically do on those streets? And then compare that to what, in this situation, what could be proposed, even if it's over a 3-year process. Maybe it's engineering 1 year, it's doing base repairs, get your drainage in, and then you can come in and do some additional work, or at least prepare for additional work. Once you have your drainage in, you're going to solve a lot of problems that way. Obviously that takes a lot of thought, more so than probably what we put into this so far. But and staging it and what we would have to do. Okay. Well, and obviously I think the point is made pretty clearly that if you want to do a full reconstruction, it's 2 years of the ramp money. As it is now at $600,000, unless that money is somehow expanded or increased, that's taking up 2 years of all the money. So you can take everything in, whatever, pick 2 years, 18 and 19, and move it because it's not going to be done. So that's, I think, an important piece of this puzzle also.
And I also had the opportunity after looking at this today to drive. These roads seem to me to be the ones that I saw.
The ones that are on the 1 years, the 1.1s, or the ones in the 1.5s?
There's nothing. There's none of them are any more needy than any other. I think when it comes to Oak Meadow, the city is actively trying to get people to a city park. And if you're and that means kids traveling on that. So there are some things that kind of bump that. And that's why I asked Alan about his different criteria, because, it may not be as bad as one someplace. By the same token, like I said before, I'm not in favor of spending in the whole ramp on one thing. And that's just me.
I think there's one other thing that needs to be understood on this, too, is if you go into the situation where you are putting sidewalks in, then there's a question that's asked, how are the sidewalks paid for? That's A question. And B, do we have easements? Do we have right-of-way to put sidewalks in? And if we don't, how are those easements acquired? So those are all questions that I think need to be answered before we can give Alan or BJ any kind of direction from council, or we can give recommendation to council to move forward with anything. So, yes.
In looking at the right-of-way that's out there, we would definitely need to get some additional right-of-way out there, which would drive up the cost of that 1.2 to secure some of that.
Do you know if we have – do we have easements over the ditches?
Ditches are all within the right-of-way.
They're within right-of-way. Yeah. So we can do storm work.
We can do storm work within the existing right-of-way.
Okay.
The right-of-way is 50 feet. Potentially we could get one side sidewalk in the existing right-of-way and get storm. It would be a tight fit.
At least have to get temporary construction easements, though.
Correct.
Okay, and when I drive down through there, I see all the stuff that's in the that's there. I mean, it's been there for years, that are objects that'll have to be moved and so forth. Okay,
I don't know if I guess I kind of have a question for Mr. King, and that's as it relates specifically to this item, since that's what we're talking about right now. Uh-huh. When is the time, if there is a time, that we would consider having that open house kind of discussion with the residents about what some things that we are thinking about happening on that road? I know in talking with Alan today, he was saying that the drainage issue of making those ditches, first of all, drain better, which makes them deeper, which makes it, and establishes flow both off the roadway and down towards the creek, is something that I think the people that live there will need to know, because, that's — some people don't like ditches.
Right.
I mean, I don't mean that. That's just — I mean, they're tough to mow. When would we — and this is, I guess, for both of you — when would we consider having that kind of a meeting? And if so, when?
Yeah, I think we certainly could consider having that type of meeting. I think it's when we decide through the budget process and with council which direction we want to go, and talk to those residents about what we're going to be doing and let them know. You know, at that point, we can start having some cross-sections, some exhibits created that shows what is going to occur out there. Right now we have three options with three significantly different prices, four different options with four significantly different prices. I would want to try to narrow down which one we want to go with. Your point's valid about the amount of money every year. If we do want to go with the Cadillac, it is going to be 2 years of ramp money eaten up plus engineering. So it's going to be a portion of 3 years of ramp money eaten up for that. So I think as we go through the budget process and decide which project we want to go with, that's when it becomes time to have a meeting and start informing the folks of what we're going to be doing. I mean, that's what we do typically with our ramp project anyways. We don't necessarily have an open house meeting, but we inform the folks that live along there what the project consists of and when it's going to occur.
And I would ask you both Alan and you, BJ, is let's say — I'll just choose the $285,000. Mm-hmm. If we decide that we want to split that, then how does that — I assume that there will then be a billiard ball effect throughout everything else, right, where something's not going to get done in 18, it's now going to get done in 19. Or
Tim, the budget would have to be increased. Obviously, you'd have to absorb the extra amount through the budget process if that's what you wanted to. And that was one of the reasons I believe that Alan and BJ both suggested to pull this out of the analysis right now, so you could see what other roads — I mean, there's quite a few roads that are ones. I mean, there's just —
I agree —
many, that are ones, and we're not getting all of them done until — I mean, it's going to be over a 3 to 5 year process here to get all the number ones taken care of. So anyhow, okay. Well, we've got a couple more minutes. I wanted to move on to — we have two more items.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything, Todd, do you have anything on that? Any questions or anything? Nope. Okay. And then next on the list is the traffic concerns that have been raised for the ravines of Hazelwood. there have been some well, go ahead, BJ, if you want to describe what this is. It's, I think everybody knows what it is.
Yeah, this is the one that was brought to us about from the residents in the ravines on Hazelwood, and their concerns are twofold. First of all, a concern about the amount of traffic that travels through that subdivision as a cut-through to Kroger or to 310, as it's portrayed. The second one is speed, a concern about cars speeding through that cut-through as they use it. We've taken a look at this. Right now, that subdivision is 25 miles per hour through it, as all of our subdivisions are. It certainly does have connectivity from 310 over to Kroger to Broad Street. It certainly is convenient to get through there. I know that we did traffic counts last year up there, and I'm no engineer, but I know that Alan and Jobes Henderson looked at the number of cars that traveled through there, and I recall that they reported that it didn't seem like an overabundance of cars traveling through that subdivision. I know that the chief has, I believe, has increased patrols up there as far as it relates to speed. And I don't know if you have anything you want
to... Anybody speeding it through there? You have any kind of reports on that?
As of today, going back to January 1, we've written 3 citations for stop sign.
Well, okay.
So at this point, I know there were concerns about or requests to put in speed bumps. I would not recommend the use of speed bumps for something like that. We could certainly take a look at... increased patrols, trying to increase the signage for speed limit. One of the things that I've seen before is painting the speed limit on the actual roadway, which makes it a little more apparent, cuts down on the sign clutter that can go up there. I think my feeling is, and if I'm wrong, tell me, I think right now with the speed issue, it's a enforcement issue. And I think, you know, based on what you guys have done, they continue to do that.
Okay. I had had a couple other suggestions. You know, that we had seen the comments that were made by Licking County engineers for some stuff that happened over in Aetna, mm-hmm. To not utilize speed tables.
Correct.
Which I think I would agree with them that that's not the best idea. Did you guys look into at all potentially even reducing the speed limit to 20? I mean, it's something to have a secondary roadway system. And that's something that zoning and everybody would tell you we need, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have to be 25.
Well, I think that when you look at, you know, first of all, for the connectivity and the roadway system, it's zoning, it's safety forces, it's everybody that says we're going to need that. If we wanted to take a look at reducing the speed limit again, I would say that comes back to an enforcement issue of enforcing the 20 mile per hour speed limit. If we're not necessarily having a speed issue based on stats at 25, is that something we want to seriously consider with reducing it 5 miles per hour, and is it going to make that much of a difference?
Valid question. I don't know. At least that's kind of what I was asking, if it would make a difference.
From a speed perception, I don't.
I think people are going to speed. That's just human nature. I don't know that it'd make any difference.
Okay. Okay. Any questions?
I don't know if it's a question, but this is something that I've at least discussed with Mr. King and Mr. Haynes, and that's if we were to find that this indeed is suddenly either our count was off and we are seeing this. I mean, nature tells me that this is happening in the morning between 5:45 and 8, and in the evenings between 3:30 and 6. I mean, I that's when I figure everybody who's leaving that side of town that doesn't want to wait extra long at Broad Street because the light up at the golf course doesn't let them turn left or whatever, it backs up and they end up, then they take that quick right and take that. I don't know. This is the one thing. See BJ looking at me. One of the things was like just tell them that there is no right turn.
Onto 310.
Onto 310. That would certainly solve that problem. At least it wouldn't. At least in the morning.
Well, I can only tell you that I see the no left turn out of the old Rona place that never paid attention to ever. I don't know how many times people take left turns out of there.
I have
so
seen that as well.
Okay, is this something that potentially Jobes can come up with some more suggestions on what could be done to deter excessive cut through traffic, speeding, traffic?
We can certainly take a look at it and see if there's anything in addition that could be considered.
And then the last part that I would have is we've had citizens commenting, looking for to attend some type of open house or meeting. Does the street committee want to have that meeting with the citizens? There's three or four of them, I imagine.
Three or four of them, and they were, and I don't see any of them, they were aware of this evening as well.
Okay. I would like to have a few more answers, I guess, that I, you know, to present to them, but at the same time, I have no problem meeting with them. And that's my personal opinion.
I guess I'm right where you are. I would like to have more answers to be able to. It seems like they're still trying to get a grasp on what it is. I'm always willing to meet with, to talk to them about whatever.
Go ahead.
I'll work on setting something up. I'm always willing to meet with them, but you know, I don't know what other options, you know, other than reducing the speed limit and enforcing that, putting in speed tables or putting in speed bumps, doing the right-hand turn lane. I guess I'm not seeing what else, after talking to Alan too and Jobs, what else is left to try to prevent or reduce the amount of traffic driving on a public road.
I don't think you need any action from the street committee. Mm-mm. To put speed limits on the road, to paint speed limits on the road. If Jobs were able to say that's something that could be effective through a traffic engineer, I would certainly explore that. And, you know, I think doing something along those lines, even utilizing a message board to say, you know, kids at play, slow down type of thing would be appropriate, in my opinion. So, okay. I don't have anything else on that. Do you guys have anything else? Okay. We had asked for an engineering services update a couple meetings ago. Alan, I know that you put it in our packets. Do you want to just kind of give us a rundown on that?
Overall, we've been pretty happy with the work that's done. There's quite a bit of on here. Making Broad Street plan reviews, several different plan reviews they've done, assistance with CA, and removed some middles on these projects. ARS sites. And figure out a best way to move forward. Tasks. Like I said, overall been responsive and responsible and easy to work with.
Do you utilize them? And I guess this is a question for Scott. Do you utilize these the services for zoning issues? Do they do anything for you?
I know that it's definitely happened. I don't know.
Okay. That's okay. I'll ask it during. You've got your packet in here. Also, I guess the one thing I would ask is there anything that you're not pleased with? I mean, that's kind of what I'm interested in knowing. Are they providing the services you want? Do they have the right personnel? You said they're timely and they answer the questions. That's great. Are you finding you're getting the expertise you need?
I believe so. Yeah.
I'll answer that. Yes.
Okay.
I've been satisfied.
Great. That's all I was after. We haven't talked to him about them for about 6 months, so I just thought I'd
extremely satisfied with services they've provided and right personnel, good personnel to work with, attending different meetings we're having, the directors' meetings they're attending, so they're definitely in tune with what's going on and have been a great addition and play a good role with the city.
Okay. Tim, Todd, anything?
Motion. Move to adjourn.
Second. Kathy?
Walter?
Yes.
Mark Spence?
Yes.
Yes.
and we are late for our ag meeting, so we probably ought to go ahead.